We're live, pal, post-Royal Rumble. Andrew Zarin and I are here on the F4W Online YouTube channel, and you can hear the audio on F4W Online as well. Andrew, I know it is so late for you. This dang show ran so friggin' long, and when we originally thought we were going to do this, we're like, oh, it'll be about 3 hours, maybe three and a half, and we'll run it, and man, this show was 4 hours and almost 20 minutes, like 4 hours and 15 minutes. How are you doing? I just want to make sure you are doing well right now.
I'm exhausted.
you poor.
And I hear myself again. I don't know why. I got an echo here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is a disaster a little bit. I think John's going to work on that. I think I hear myself, but nobody else hears themselves right now.
I do not hear myself. I do not hear an echo on your side either.
Okay.
So hopefully it's okay.
Yeah, I got the echo. I don't think anybody else hears it. But it is way too long, these shows. Way too long.
And so while we're there, why did we need that Hardy performance?
Oh, my God. It was miserable. It really was terrible.
Okay, so I'll just tell you, because I knew that this was really late for you, I left Big Dave's before the main event started because, like, you know what? I don't want Andrew to like have to wait for me to get there, so I'm going to leave, and I'll miss a little bit of the main event, or I'll just have it on my phone so I could hear the audio through my car. And so this Hardy performance happened, and
yeah.
I got home before the main event even started.
Yeah.
It's like a 20-minute – it was 20 minutes after Rhea won the Royal Rumble to when the main event started. So I didn't miss anything, but – it just extended this show out another 20 minutes that when it didn't need it.
Yeah, they went long. Between that and all the video packages over and over and over again that they put on, I felt like they could have cut another, like, at least 40 freaking minutes from this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a little bit of an army. Like, listen, if you're on the West Coast, this was not that long for you. I get it.
It was still a little bit long.
Yeah?
I'm on the West Coast, and it was still a little long. You know, four-hour shows, I think, are okay if the wrestling is just high stakes, important, the matches are zinging. Then that 4 hours doesn't feel that long. Like, you know, think of the Tokyo Dome show that we just watched for New Japan. That show did not feel like a 4 or 5 hour show, whatever it was. But because of, like you said, because of all the video packages and the commercials that they had to throw in on the paid the $5 version of Peacock or whatever, like, that's what extends this thing out. You know, how many times do we have to see the same videos over and over because what the other fans, I think, are seeing are commercials? So they need to figure something out. I know that it probably they probably feel like a longer show is good for them when it comes to hours wise on Peacock. You know, you blow up that hours number when you do a longer show. But, man, you know, I will say, had the Bloodline explosion storyline not been as good as it was, I think a lot of people may have had the show as a thumbs down. But because of what we're going to talk about here in a second, I think it was a thumbs up. I just wish it didn't take as long to get there.
Yeah, I would say I enjoyed the show. I didn't dislike the show. There were a lot of elements that slowed me down. I think, you know, they could have done without a couple of things here, but you're right. You know, they want to do the watched hours thing still. I don't know how much it matters by today's standards, but, you know, they got to figure out something. Like you said, maybe starting the show at 7 is a much better option, especially if you're running a 4 hour show, ending it at, like, you know what, dude? Even 11:30 is long, right?
Yeah.
Even that's long. So I don't know what they could have done, but, you know, it's not too often they're committed to 2 1-hour matches on a card.
True.
You know, that also comes into play.
So here's the other thing that I don't know if they really understood this, but this is a very casual fan event. Like, I know people who don't watch anything WWE related, including WrestleMania, but they check in with the Royal Rumble. And I had one buddy who popped in, and he was like, what the hell? Why is the men's Royal Rumble starting the show? Like, I figured I could just pop in and not have to watch a lot of the stuff and then get to see the good stuff. My son, who you know, when he was a little kid, he was a big wrestling fan, but more he's more of a UFC fan. Even he popped in and he was like, "Hey, what time's the Royal Rumble start?" And I was like, "Oh, it's already on." And he's like, no. I mean the men's Royal Rumble. When does that start?" I was like, "It started at the beginning." And he was like, I guess I don't have to watch it because I told him who won. So I don't think they realize that by starting the show with the most anticipated match that a lot of people were going to check in late and they missed it live. And I don't know how many people would have stayed versus how many people did, you know, like my son. I was like, I missed it. Oh, well.
See, so I had the opposite, right? Because my kids are small. And this was the first Royal Rumble that they watched. Like that they stayed up for. So they got to see the men's rumble and my son was loving it. You know, all the guys that he has the toys for came out.
Did he like the Cody win?
He loved the Cody win. He had the best time watching and my kids are doing the countdown, you know. So they got to experience the main event. To them, that's what they were watching. So I guess for like the little ones, it was great that they didn't have to stay up till 12:30 in the morning to see the ending.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the most important thing, I would say, which is this Sami Zayn. The match was even sort of like background noise for this entire angle, right? Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, there was a little bit of turbulence there with Roman asking Sami to get a chair after a ref bump, and Paul Heyman was telling him to get a chair, and he was a little bit resistant. And he's like, "You told me not to do anything." And Roman's screaming at him, so he gets the chair. And then there's some back and forth, and there's some near falls. And then finally, Roman is just brutalizing KO, finally pins him. And there's a moment where Sammy is telling KO, "Dude, just stay down," because he knows what's about to come. He knows that there's good that in, you know, KO's not going to quit. And in order to beat him, they're going to really have to beat him. So finally pins KO, and there's this little the Usos come out, Solo comes out, and they have these lays and they're putting them around the neck. Before Sammy gets his, Roman looks at the Usos, the twins, and he says, "You know, you guys got to start beating up Owens." And Owens was out. He was already out. So this is like real villainous stuff. And so they're beating up Owens. Then Paul Heyman gives Roman the handcuffs, and so they cuff Owens to the top rope, and so Owens is like sitting against the top rope like a dead man, and then he just gets super kicked after super kicked after super kicked after super kicked. So it comes time to where Roman is going to hit KO. He's going to end this thing with a chair shot. Owens is slumped down, he can't even stand up. Finally, Sammy gets in between. He's like, "Roman, you don't need to do this. You are too good for this. He's done. You know, this. This is beneath you. He's had enough." So then Roman goes, "Okay, you hit him. Give Sammy the chair." Roman is pie facing Sammy because, you know, why are you emotional right now? Why are you crying? So then Roman turns his back once to talk trash to the KO, who's at this point, like, he's playing unconscious. And there's a moment where you're like, "Oh, Sammy's going to hit him with the chair." But it doesn't happen. So then he does it again. And the second time that he turns, that's when Sammy blasts Roman in the back with the chair. Sammy turns to Jay, turns to Jimmy. They're pissed off. Like, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" And then Jimmy takes out Sammy. Solo takes out Sammy, and finally Roman hits him with chairs. Now, where's Jay in this moment? Jay is in the corner. He is not attacking Sammy. Roman is looking at Jay going like, "Dude, what are you doing?" Instead, Jay walks out of the ring, walks down the aisle, and that is the storyline here. So I talked a lot here just because I wanted to explain everything, but did you feel like the Bloodline storyline was paid off at the Royal Rumble in a way that makes you want to see what happens next?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that group together, but I know they got to get to where they got to get to for Mania, so it was time. in that sense. You know, it really, if you're talking about the entirety of that story, it definitely was a masterpiece for WWE. They haven't in a long time had the ability to commit to a long-term story. This was the safest way to do it, where it kind of brings everybody together. Obviously, the story is going to be what happens with the Usos as a whole, as a tag team, because he just walked out. What happens with the Bloodline now? And then the story of Sammy and Kevin together. And then Elimination Chamber, right? Because that's apparently the match that we know of. Elimination Chamber is going to be Sammy and Roman in Montreal. So
is that what they said?
That's when not officially, but that's what I was under the impression for months that that's where they're going.
Yeah. I mean, it was the natural sort of thing for that show. But I've always kind of wondered, do they see Sammy in that light, right? Do you feel like Sammy is stature enough to be in that match? And I think that question has been answered in these last couple weeks, like absolutely 100%. When he hit Roman with that chair, the sound, it was almost too hot because the sound was muffled through my sound system. It was almost like, you know, like this is a little bit of inside podcasting, but you know, when if you were to yell into your mic, it would get into the red and it'd be a little distorted. And that's what the sound was like after he hit Roman with that chair. That place exploded. Now, did they explode because they want to see Sami Zayn beat Roman Reigns, or did they explode because they really enjoy this storyline and they wanted to see what would happen, you know, with the Sami character? But I thought, albeit this show was so long and it probably didn't need to be long, but they gave you that payoff. And I think that payoff was fantastic. It's some of the best stuff that they've ever done to me. And I go back to, you know, the Mega Powers exploding and that storyline always being my favorite WWF storyline of all time. And they've done such a great job with this one. Like the other thing I liked about it is Roman. And when they're doing this thing at the end of the show, it's unmiked. Right. So the poor live crowd, they have no idea what these guys are saying because you probably can't hear them. But to us, to the viewers who are watching, it felt gritty and like not real. None of this really feels real, but it felt like, oh, this isn't like really wacky wrestling that we're used to. It felt something because they weren't mic'd up. It didn't feel like a promo. Right. It felt like, oh, this is a little bit different from what we normally see in this kind of stuff.
What would they have done? You know, here's one thing, right? Because the plan was changed for Raw. We weren't going to get the Sami Zayn trial. We were going to get the whatever for, you know, the honoring, the acknowledgement ceremony.
Yeah.
So if they hadn't done that trial, would it have been a bigger reaction for Sami turning on Roman? Instead of, you know, them going through this whole thing, you know, where they kind of prepared you that, okay, this is where we're going, so be ready for it. I think a lot of people knew what the payoff was. I enjoyed it. I think they did a great job at telling that story. I need to rewatch it tomorrow morning. Because, again, I'm watching it after watching it for 4 hours, and it's, you know, 12 o'clock in the morning here on the East Coast when it happens. So I need to rewatch it. I did enjoy it. I just don't know if I was as emotionally connected to it as I would have been if this happened at, like, 10 o'clock at night.
But, by the way, folks who are watching us live, appreciate you all chiming in. What was the – I mean, can you see the comments? What is the – what are people saying? Did they like it? Was it too melodramatic for them? Was it too late like it was for you, especially for you folks on the East Coast? That's pretty rough. But do you have a gauge on what the people who are chiming in, how they felt about it?
Fascinatingly, this is what I've seen on my timeline and even in the chat with some people. They enjoyed it. However, a lot of people don't know if Sammy should be the guy that dethrones Roman.
Sure.
You know, okay. And I get that and I understand that because you've built this guy for so long as being unbeatable. They told a story that he hasn't been pinned in 3 years. And is Sami Zayn the guy to do it? I don't think so.
Okay, here's the big question, right? Because coming out of this show, I think there are a few big points when it comes to the WrestleMania and what we see, the road to WrestleMania. One, no Dwayne, no Austin. So unless they are swerving us in some way, it looks like what was presented tonight is where we are going for WrestleMania. So if that is the case, is it Sammy or is it Cody?
Well, I mean,
and I think that's the question, right? That they have to answer.
Yeah, and part of it is Roman is still married to this whole Sammy and Kevin Owens thing. So it's not like a traditional storyline where he essentially, you know, okay, you have your blow off at Rumble for whatever feud you were in, and now you're entering whatever else. No, we still have Elimination Chamber, and obviously the story is Sammy there. We also have the Elimination Chamber match.
Yes.
And who's in there? Is it going to be Seth and Cody? Are they going to work something there? You know, they have ways out of whatever box they're in now. They were kind of stuck to it for Rumble, but now they could kind of weave and go everywhere. You know, it could still be a swerve. The Austin thing could be a swerve. The Rock thing could be a swerve. But, you know, for WrestleMania, do you want to see today, at this very moment, at 12:40 a.m. on the East Coast and 9:40 p.m. on the West Coast, right after Royal Rumble, is that payoff match Roman Reigns and Cody for you?
Yeah. Okay, so on a Tuesday night, I did an interview with my buddy Ben Cruz, who has his own podcast now, on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. It is the Wednesday Worldwide Show. So congrats to Ben. I've shouted him out on just about every show this week. One of my really good friends. He posed the same question to me. He's like, is it Sammy? And I said, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I would have said not only just no, I would have said hell no.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's Cody. It's Dwayne. Whatever. But it can't be Sammy. And then the last 2 weeks, I think it could be Sammy. Now, do they change whatever plans that they have? Because from everything that has been talked about, and you know, especially in the Observer that I just read, this was meant to be a short-term deal. This was not meant to be a long-term storyline.
3 weeks.
Right. So in order for them to go with Sammy, this is going to have to be something where they change plans. Do they want to change plans? Do they want to take away from what they did with Cody tonight? And the Cody thing tonight, we'll talk about that in a second. They made sure to, like, this was the most straightforward booking of a babyface superstar coming back. This was Triple H in 2002.
Yeah.
Like, straightforward. This is the guy. He's going to win this match. And we're not straying from that. So they were that confident in him for tonight, which makes you wonder, okay, then they're probably not going to change whatever the plans were for him if it was for him to win. If he is plan B for Roman Reigns, and I would assume that now Sammy is plan C, right? And anything can happen. You know, they were working an angle with possibly, you know, with Cody's chest because of the pec and Gunther slapping the hell out of it and stuff. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I don't think he's injured, so I'm hopeful that he's not. But, you know, anything can happen with injuries in wrestling, as we know. So if Sammy is plan C, whatever it is, now here's the question that I saw on Twitter. Okay, and I will pose it to you. If the end game here is still Roman and Cody for WrestleMania, you just did the single hottest angle that you've done in I don't know how many years. And that is now, if you're doing it at Elimination Chamber, it is just the stopgap to WrestleMania. It is not even WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
So that is a thing. That's what they have to figure out.
And I'll tell you, even people within WWE that you know, I don't know if they're so connected to the storylines wise or whatever that I've spoken to. They have said the same exact thing, that they internally in that company, staff wise, talent wise, absolutely loves what they've done with the Bloodline and with Sami Zayn. I think everybody recognizes what a great instrument this was for Sami's career. 100%. You know, I've been a fan of his since Ring of Honor.
Sure.
And I always thought, you know, when he had his NXT run and he came to the main roster, I always thought, you know, it is a possibility for him to become WWE champion at some point in this company. And then he was on that main roster and they did nothing with him for so long. And I had no hope for him. If you had told me a year ago Sami Zayn could become WWE champion, I would have told you no. So they have rehabbed this guy. Totally. But like you said, this is the hot story, not Cody. It's going to be a secondary thing afterwards. So unless they do a great job of telling the story again, you know, which, you know, I have confidence in WWE when it comes to Roman Reigns at this point that they will do right by a story for Roman. I don't feel like they'll forget about it or they'll screw it up. However, you know, it's less what WWE wants and it's more what the audience wants. If the audience rejects Cody at this point, which I don't think they will. I don't think the majority will, but if they do, it's a major detriment to their main event at WrestleMania.
Yes. Okay, so here's a question. Now, what we saw tonight was Cody coming in at number 30. When I was thinking this through, I was like, okay, he needs to come in the 20s so that he can show that he's a fighting baby face here, right? Coming in at 30, I was a little disappointed in, as you know.
Me too.
I was watching it at Dave's house, and Dave's instinct was, oh, Cody's definitely coming in at, once it got to about 25, he's like, oh, Cody's coming in at 30, because if Cody has not come in yet, by the time we get to number 30, the fans don't expect Sami.
Well, they also did. So, first of all, I have a very serious question for you. What kind of hors d'oeuvres did Dave have? Did he have little weenies? You know, did he have the pigs in the blanket? Did he have like a nice little spread? You know, like a hummus spread with pita? That's all I wanted to know all night. But
okay, I know better. I bring my own food to Dave's, but it was about, I would say, mid show, right around the near the women's Royal Rumble match, Dave's significant other and our friend, the daughter of Pampero Firpo, who my stepkids know as Miss Freeze because she was their teacher when they were in like sixth grade, I think. So she and Dave's significant other went to go grab food and they brought back sushi and they brought back like Japanese food. I didn't want any because I had already eaten, but that would have been the spread was like grocery store Japanese food that you can just eat on the fly because everyone was hungry, but everyone was busy and the show. And so, you know, Dave was just at the computer. He was just on fire. So he couldn't go get anything. So,
aggressive typer? Is Dave like a really loud typer?
Have you ever read Dave's because Dave doesn't do the play-by-play on F4W anymore, right?
No.
The reason why he doesn't do it is because he's actively watching and typing at the same time, and he's not really watching his fingers, and he's not really watching the screen as what he types. So a lot of times it comes off as gibberish, and they're like, no, Dave, we'll get someone else to do the play-by-play. You just keep it in your notes.
You're off by like three letters.
So like sometimes I'm like looking at what he's writing, and I was like, I literally don't understand what he just typed onto the thing, but like he knows because he's, you know, he knows his own chicken scratch typing. So yeah, that's,
by the way, Pampero Firpo, Juan, yes. His name was Juan Catch Manian. Yes. He's of Armenian descent. My grandmother would talk about him constantly as being an Armenian pro wrestler when I was a kid.
So I met Mrs. Freeze, at Pampero Firpo's funeral. Dave randomly just said, hey, do you want to go to Pampero Firpo's funeral? And I was like, well, I don't really know who that is. And he's like, it's just come, like it'll be interesting to you. And so There was a someone who I knew there as well, but I got to meet Mrs. Freeze and her family, and Mike Lano was there asking wacky questions. So, yeah, that's how I can say I went to Pampero Furpo's funeral.
That's it's a wild world, man. Yes. Everybody's connected in some way. I still want to know, you know, everything about Dave's watch along with Dave is fascinating to me.
I told you if you would come down for Revolution, you would get the full experience.
One day.
It's hard. One of these days you'll come out to the West Coast and we'll do some stuff and it'll be worth your while. Yeah. You'll be fascinated by everything that goes on out here.
Love it.
Okay. I know it's late, so let's get through the rest of the show. We'll get through it fairly quickly. The show started with Men's Royal Rumble, but even before that, one Pat McAfee was given like the entrance of all entrances, and this dude was dancing down because they're at the Alamo Dome, so it was this long entryway. These guys had to go forever to get to the ring,
and Pat got
and they had these lights, and that actually looked pretty cool, but it was like, you know, really long. I thought they were going to bring back the carts like from WrestleMania 3. It was so long. But what did you think about McAfee coming back?
Oh, he's great, man. I always enjoy him. He was really, I mean, he was going like a million miles an hour. I think he was really excited to be back. You know, you could tell that there's obvious chemistry between him and Michael Cole.
Yeah. Tell he's not really been watching wrestling. A lot of the people, including NXT Roxanne Perez. He literally said, "This is the first time I've ever seen Roxanne Perez."
Well, how about for Piper Nevin, right?
Yeah.
He was very confused over that. So, you know, obviously he's busy, he has a thousand things going on, but he'll get back.
I mean, they're lucky to have him. They're not going to have him for that much longer. He's doing the college football stuff. I think he's going to be a shoo-in for NFL stuff at some point very in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. He connects to a certain audience that is very important. You know, youthful, male driven, sports based. He has a big following himself. I think anywhere he ends up is going to be great for them, but it was good to see him back.
So I just had a buddy of mine was at the show. He was sending me some stuff and he was letting me know how things were going. He actually liked the Men's Rumble less than he liked the Women's Rumble, which is interesting. I haven't really seen that, but he just texted me and said, "Just got back to the car. Now got to get out of this mess." That's what happens when you have 45,000 people at a show.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Men's Royal Rumble, the story of the Rumble was obviously Cody. Now, I would say the secondary story is Gunther. What did you think about Gunther? Gunther went the entire way, and he is now the record holder for the longest time in a Rumble that was not in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think he has an Iron Man title now, because not only did he go over the 60 minutes, I think he was in there 70 minutes, but he also, like you said, he was number one. So
yeah,
I thought it was, what a great showing for Gunther. And they kind of gave him, strangely, do you remember that there was a Rumble where Rusev was in the final two? I think it was with Roman, and everybody got behind Rusev because of like how much he did. It kind of felt like that. I think he had this unbelievable showing, you know, going nose to nose with Lesnar was a big spot for him. He really was the MVP of that match. Yes.
He was the MVP of both Rumbles for sure.
And they let him and Cody go long.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I thought they were going to do the typical, like, "Well, I got you over. And then Cody hits something and he wins. But they went back like four or five times.
Yeah, I think it was seven minutes.
Listen, it was great. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Not a lot of surprises in that Rumble, though.
Not at all. That is the big story there.
Yeah. And again, like you brought up,
no
this
surprises
is a casual.
In really
it's a casual fan show.
Yes.
And a lot of people love the Rumble because of the surprises. They got used to that, you know, the last couple of years with all the surprises. There weren't many. There were none. I mean, Edge came back, so that was a big one. But as far as, you know, veterans coming in or doing something, you only got Booker T, but he's there anyway.
Poor Booker T, he could barely walk.
I know. Well, you know what else? Kofi messed up that spot again. Yes, second year in a row.
He did. Messed it up. Botched the chair spot there.
He did not get to redeem himself.
A couple of other like little notes in this match. Brock Lesnar came in at number 12. He immediately dumped Santos Escobar, Angelo Dawkins, and Chad Gable. Then Bobby Lashley was number 13. Lashley clotheslines Lesnar over the top rope. Baron Corbin comes in at 14, and then Brock lays this poor dude out. And Seth had just, after he was dead, Seth threw him in and quickly eliminated him. So they got Lesnar in there. Lesnar, you know, Lesnar gets paid by the minute here. He doesn't get paid by the hour. Lashley dumped him, but then Seth dumped Lashley at some point too. So, you know, Lashley and Lesnar are probably going to do something. I don't know if it's going to be at Mania. Maybe it's at Mania, but there was a face-off between Lesnar and Gunther that the fans really got excited for, that I was excited. I would love to see that match. So maybe not WrestleMania, maybe something down the line for those two. And then the story was that Ray was coming in at 17 and he didn't come out. And then at 18 comes Dom, and Dom's got Pops' mask in his hands as if to say, I beat up Pops and took his mask. What did you hear about Ray? I heard that he got hurt on SmackDown, and that might be the reason that he was not in the match.
Yeah, same thing. I heard that he got hurt with the Karrion Kross match on SmackDown, and that's why he wasn't there. But, I mean, normally they replace the guy, you know? Like, yeah. I honestly, even up until the end of Cody coming out at number 30, I thought there would have been another substitute that came in. I was waiting for that other shoe to drop. It never came. Not that, you know, it was only my expectation. This is why I go into Rumble with zero expectations. I don't put any of my personal opinions into this because you're never going to live up to that expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
But
We could always fantasy book the Rumble. But
yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, somebody wrote that they thought that Austin would be in the Rumble.
Yeah. And in our Rumble, Austin's in it, Rock's
in it, every Hunter's coming back.
Triple H comes out, like, that. You know,
But, you know, like, think about it this way, right? If Austin did show up, it's going to overshadow that entire show. Any other match after this or 100%. During would not matter anymore because Austin showed up. That glass shattered and everybody got reacted and you could go home now. There were a couple of things I thought, you know, there was a moment and I started realizing, I was like, look how big everybody is now. It was Sheamus, Drew, Karrion, like, it was just a bunch of big dudes in the ring. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of different from years past, you know?
I tweeted out at that moment that it was the big meaty men.
Yeah.
And Johnny Gargano.
And like, Johnny Gargano,
that was the group, yeah. So, all right. So then we get to, like you said, Edge came out. He throws out Damian Priest. He throws out Finn Balor. Then he's dumped out by Dom as Balor and Priest help. So then Rhea Ripley kicks Edge in the ribs, and then Beth Phoenix comes out and she spears Ripley. Beth Phoenix not in the Rumble, though. She just got all dressed up to come out for that spot. Braun Strowman comes in at 27. He clotheslines out Omos. And then as we get down to the final four were Gunther, Logan Paul, Cody, and I think it was Seth.
Yeah.
So that's your final four. Cody tosses out. Wait, hang up.
Actually, let me. I want to find out your opinion and the chat's opinion here.
Yes.
Logan Paul's placement at what was he? 28. Right.
Let me.
I believe he was 28.
I have it here in my notes. Logan Paul was 29.
29. Weird, right? Because you got 29 for Logan Paul, and then you got Cody right after.
Yes.
If I'm gonna nitpick anything, I didn't really like that.
You have had Paul?
I would have put Paul like earlier 20s.
Okay,
because everybody's now at that point waiting for Cody, right? You're like, okay, is this Cody? So once you get 29, you know 30 is gonna be him. So it kind of took away from Logan Paul. I think he could have been a little bit lower.
That's in the numbers. That's an interesting point.
But my God, what heat this guy gets, huh?
And he seemed like he was leaning into it, right? Like he wasn't trying to only be a babyface at that point. He was leaning into the heat. And then he and Ricochet have this tremendous spot where they both do springboard clotheslines and they just bang each other
80 feet in the air.
Yeah, just athletic dudes. And, you know, I feel Logan Paul is probably a natural, but that dude's going to keep getting hurt because he's just so athletic and kind of a little bit of reckless.
Yeah.
But that was a great spot. Okay, so final four. Final four is Logan Paul, Seth Rollins, Cody, and Gunther. Logan Paul throws out Seth Rollins. I kind of want, you know, makes you wonder if you were getting that for WrestleMania, which I'd be totally fine for.
I believe that is the match.
If there's a guy for Logan Paul to wrestle, who's a better wrestler in WWE than Seth Rollins? Then Cody throws Logan out. And then after 7 minutes, finally, Cody throws Gunther out. Cody is your winner. So they told that story of his comeback. He wasn't even a surprise at the Rumble. They've been telling us for a couple weeks now that he was in it. So good stuff. They never veered from that story. Cody Rhodes is your winner and is going to face whoever's the champion. We think it's Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And good for him, man. Like, you know, there's a little bit of an AEW, I would say, bias in some instances when it comes to Cody, because they really wanted Cody to be that guy, to be anti-WWE when he you know, hits the sledgehammer thing and the whole anti-Triple H stuff. But at the end of the day, he's in the business to make money and to feed his family and to be a star, and he found WWE as the place to be for him. And so good for him. Now he's possibly main eventing the biggest show of the year. I don't think you can blame him for that. He did everything correctly.
Good investments. May not be what you wanted him to do, but you know what? It was best for him.
Absolutely.
It really was. I mean, look at, you know, he's in front of 50,000, shy of 50,000, but let's say 50,000 people in a Rumble. He wins that. He returns at WrestleMania. This guy's only wrestled in front of like 30,000 plus. He had that one other match, right, at Backlash, but that's about it. I mean, the guys that he's being solidified as a top tier talent in that company, which they need. I'm hoping the Sammy stuff doesn't turn the audience on him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I could easily see that happening. I don't think it could happen, but That'll be a major detriment to him, because then he's back to where he was in AEW. A babyface that people are booing. And, you know, maybe it's him at that point. Maybe he's the problem.
Well, there was a moment there where I thought the boos were coming, but they never really came. There's a little bit of, and he turned them. He turned them back. But that's going to be a challenge for him, right? Because when you do the dusty stuff and you cry in your promos because you love wrestling, that is great for a particular fan base, the hardcores, before, you know, maybe not so hardcores. They're like, what's this dude crying for? Who cares about the American dream? I didn't watch wrestling in 1985 and 1975. So there is something. He's going to have to figure out how to stay a babyface. Now, here's another question for you, which is, we know this bloodline thing is exploding. How do you fit Cody into this storyline? Because I saw it on Twitter. I thought the same thing. Kevin Owens is getting brutalized, and our number one babyface, who just won the Royal Rumble, was chilling backstage. He was just drinking a brew or whatever he was doing. He did not come out and save Kevin Owens, which I think we're okay because we understand this storyline. But at the same time, if he's going to be the top babyface, you know, it would have been nice at least for us to know that he tried, right? Or that he did something.
Well, if it's not Roman, then who does Cody face? You know, let's say Roman is facing Dwayne. Let's say that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You have not done anything compelling that's created an opponent for Cody to face for a title, unless you're going to do, I mean, you're not going to do Sami Zayn winning the title, and, you know, you can't now take the title off him. So it has to be him. I mean, they could easily put him in there somehow. Sami goes into the tag with Kevin, You know, Roman comes out and says, I demolished, you know, Sammy, and you know, and then you go from there. You could start fresh after Elimination Chamber, but, you know, fascinating stuff. Very fascinating.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Okay, so let's get through the rest of this show. What did you see any of this Pitch Black match?
I did. I watched all the Pitch Black match, and it was exactly kind of what I envisioned it would be. Yes. Which I'm trying to think, you know, is the Mattel playset, you know, the glow-in-the-dark playset coming out next month?
Is Naomi, I feel like Naomi should have been in this match, because this match was just based on her entrance.
Yeah, I guess this is what happens when you do a paid for match, you know, a sponsored match. There were so many sponsors everywhere. The countdown clock was sponsored by Applebee's. This match was sponsored by Mountain Dew. Did it look cool? Yeah, it looked awesome. You know, it's very cool. They did a great job at the presentation, but what the hell was the point of it?
Yeah.
What was it?
There wasn't anything. They used the black light. Bray had some makeup and it glowed. The ring ropes also glowed in the dark. LA Knight got a little bit of offense in. Ultimately, Wyatt hits the Sister Abigail to win the match. And then he lays out LA Knight and he puts on a mask. Like, so it's all of a sudden the impervious to pain version of Bray Wyatt. And then he gives LA Knight the old Mick Foley mandible claw, Mankind mandible claw.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he lays him out, and Uncle Howdy, who's like, I don't know where he was. He was on top of something.
Yeah.
And he just free falls onto poor LA Knight.
Into hell.
And he missed him by a couple of feet, it looked like. But the way that they shot it, you know, you don't really care, because you know what it's about. But yeah, all we saw was LA Knight's feet just kind of like flop up, and that was it. I don't know. I don't know where you go with this. Like, I know people were like, hey, LA Knight is in a major storyline. Good for him. And I'm like, no, not good for him. Everybody who works with Bray is less over than they were before they started working with Bray. And this is like, where does LA Knight go from here?
They haven't figured out how to make a spooky Bray match work.
No.
They really haven't, you know. It's so much goofy spookiness going on. I mean, the Uncle Howdy thing, what a ridiculous name it is, but my kids are so into it, I have to tell you. If that's the point, if that's what they're trying to do, I think it's great.
Okay, you know what Pat McAfee said, though?
What'd he say?
Howdy Doody.
He called him Howdy Doody?
That's what I think when I hear Uncle Howdy. I think of Howdy Doody.
LA Knight's feet being like curled up. It was like the Wicked Witch from, you know, from Wizard of Oz. Just after when the house falls on her, his toes curled up. Listen, I don't know where the hell you go from here. What do you do with this? What is this Bray that we see? Is this how he's going to wrestle? How do you present this? He had the dark eye makeup. He looked like Mac from Always Sunny. For people who watch that show, I don't know, man. You know, sometimes overthinking is too much. And then that's Bo Dallas, right? Uncle Howdy at this point. Can we confirm that?
I mean, it seems like it is, but if it wasn't, would anybody even know? You know?
Yeah, but what are you going to do with him? And then after that, right? After he crashes and burns, literally, he starts possessing Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the next match, right? That's the next match, Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair. And the entire story to this match is Alexa Bliss is maybe getting a little bit more than you would think, and then Bianca just wins.
Yeah.
and that's it. And Alexa Bliss is in the ring on her knees, like sad, and this video plays. And it's the same old that we've been seeing, and nothing happened. It just going to the next thing, which is the Women's Royal Rumble. Maybe Hardy should have came out after this.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
What are we doing here? What, like, I get it. we were trying to find things for other, you know, for wrestlers who maybe aren't over in some way. And Alexa Bliss has gone from kind of being a little bit of a dandy for WWE fans to then doing this Bray stuff and then having the doll and then now going back to this. And I'm just like, man, if I was to offer her any advice, I would say, you know, maybe this is not the best thing. But at the same time, like, what else is she going to do? So maybe she just goes with it. But yeah, this was rough, you know. And Bianca is an absolute star, but when you put her in with stuff like this, it pulls her down
big time. Yeah,
like I would have rather seen Bianca be in the Rumble. Though, you know, she has a championship. I would have rather seen a different story for her because the, you know, hopefully it's going to be Rhea and her at WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. But man, she was as cold as ice in this on the show. And it is mostly because Alexa Bliss's character is as cold as ice. So,
yeah, I don't know who's liking that storyline. I really don't.
Yeah, I know. I can't imagine there are many people who I mean, even the hardest of the hardcore WWE fans who want to sort of excuse or have reasons for why this thing is happening. If you understand how wrestling works and you understand how, you know, it's about people getting over and all that, like you can't say, well, yeah, this is great for Bianca. No, it was bad for Bianca. She's the champ, and she's got to deal with this goofy stuff. Like, I'm just thankful it's over. Let's move on. Let's get to Rhea and Bianca. That'll be much, much better than
what is that? Is that, you know, no Charlotte. We didn't get anything from Charlotte today either.
No Charlotte. Charlotte is facing Sonya Deville on SmackDown on Friday.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, Women's Royal Rumble. This was Rhea Ripley being number one and going all the way to the end and winning the match. I felt bad for Rhea in a couple of moments because she had to work with Dana Brooke and that looked to be rough. And I think she got a bloody lip or a bloody nose from it.
Yeah, and Dana Brooke was in there for a while.
And yeah, just not doing great. She had a little bit of a rough go of it. There were a couple of moments where I think the fans got really excited. Asuka came out looking like her former character before she came into WWE. I saw a bunch of stuff about Kana, who was her former name as a wrestler in Japan, and she kind of came out and looked like that with the face paint. So a lot of people really enjoyed that, especially if you watched her before she came to WWE. I thought Asuka was awesome in this match. Other moments, Michelle McCool hopped the barricade, and I called it about, I'm sure other people called it too, because they showed her on camera in the previous match, and you're like, oh, she's going to hop the barricade, and she's coming into this match. She came into the match. You saw a lot of NXT folks who were in this match. Roxanne was in this match, the former Roxy, and this is where Pat McAfee said, oh, yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen her. Thanks for being honest, Pat. Candice LeRae was in this match. Zoe Stark was in this match. B-Fab was in this match, thankfully, for a very short moment. Raquel Rodriguez had a fantastic performance. Becky was facing Damage Control. Damage Control was kind of controlling the first half of the match, and then Becky threw them all out, and then they threw Becky out, so she was out. So they got her out early so that it wasn't going to be her and Rhea and the fans possibly wanting Becky to win. And then as we get to the end here with the final four, we have Liv Morgan, who came in at number two. She was at number two. Rhea Ripley, who was at number one. Asuka, and then Nikki Cross, who was number 29. And Liv Morgan eliminated Nikki Cross. Then she got hit in the face with the mist. Ripley eliminated Asuka. And a blind Liv Morgan almost eliminated Ripley, but then got eliminated herself. Piper Niven came in as Piper Niven and not as Doudrop. I think the fans really enjoyed that. I thought this was, for the most part, a pretty boring and not well wrestled match, but I really appreciated them making the end of this match very, very good for Rhea Ripley. She came out looking like a star. I feel like she's the person who the fans really saw as the rightful winner, especially when Becky got out. So I liked the end of it, but it was, you know, it was pretty rough for a lot of it.
I'm sorry. Uncle Howdy apparently took over my camera here. And I was glitching out for a minute. So sorry. There's something going on with this camera. I got to figure it out. But it was Rhea's moment, but timing, placement, all of that matters. Your opponents matter. It seemed like they're really that, you know, that roster was so deep a couple years ago, that women's roster. And by the way, they have a ton of people there, but it's just bodies now, you know, and I'm not taking it away from their talent whatsoever, but they haven't built top talent like they did from like 2014 on, you know, like we're Bayley, Bianca, you know, Rhea's the next generation right after that that came up. But like Rhea really doesn't have too many people that's super impressive to go up against. I think Bianca has to be the natural story here. But, you know, you have Ronda Rousey and she's not involved in the Royal Rumble.
Because they telegraphed it, right? It's like, oh, Ronda's not in it. Oh, that meant she wasn't winning, right?
Yeah, I mean, so strange that they did that. And it's very possible Ronda wins the title back somehow, and that it's her and Rhea.
Maybe.
You know, they could do that too.
You know who was missing from this, who would have helped in sort of being the glue person in this match? Sasha Banks. I think she was very missed tonight.
Yeah.
She could have helped make this match a lot better.
And she was number one last year in the Rumble, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was number one last year. Listen, just showing you it's a transition period, obviously. There's a lot of young talent there. But, you know, does this audience really know that talent? I don't think so, especially the casual audience. And they didn't have a lot of, you know, legends return. There was no Trish. There was no Lita. You can't do it every year, obviously. It becomes too redundant and too predictable, but I think they did good with what they had, and they kind of solidified Rhea because this is her year, and you know, you want to create a believable world champion, and I think Rhea could be that for them, you know, for a long haul. She could be a long-term champion for them because she's so dominant right now.
Yeah. So what did you think about, I forgot to mention it, but Nia Jax comes back as number 30. Nia Jax has been gone for a long time. She comes in as the Big Show spot where all the wrestlers in the ring attack her, and then she just pushes her hands up and everyone flies, and it takes 11 people or how many of her people were in the ring at that point to throw her out. But it seems like she is here for the long run.
Yeah, she's back. Chelsea Green also showed up.
Chelsea Green, and she broke a record.
Yeah. Quickest female elimination, right?
Matt Cardona congratulated her on Twitter for breaking a record.
I thought Cardona should have been in that Rumble.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. He could have definitely been in there, and that would have been a nice little surprise. But again, you know, we talked about the men's match, and you mentioned there were no real surprise. Michelle McCool was maybe the one, but they telegraphed it a little bit. But no Trish, no Tori Wilson, no Bellas. Name your person from the mid-2000s or the mid-2010s as far as who could have been in that match. So, yeah, it was all the women on the current roster. It was some of the women from NXT. It was a couple of women who were coming back to the roster. So, it was clearly built for Rhea. I thought that was fine, but lack of star power, match wasn't that good, and that hurt it a little bit in my eyes.
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%.
Okay, so that is it. We talked about the Roman and Kevin Owens match before as the first thing. I guess my last question to you is, as we head towards Elimination Chamber, as we head towards WrestleMania, and you and I are going to talk about this on We're Live, Pal, every week, Do you, after this Royal Rumble, you know, we build up the Royal Rumble. I think you've even said this is your favorite WWE event.
Yeah, favorite. Absolutely. The length kind of hurts it now, but it's absolutely my favorite show.
Do you feel like the road to WrestleMania was kicked off properly here by what you saw tonight?
No, because I don't know where we're going. Maybe that's the positive here. You know, that's the good thing here.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going. It looks like it's going to be Cody and Roman if you just go based on what's presented to you. But they're going to have to do a really good job at telling that story because of how strong Sammy and Roman are. You know, the whole Sammy bloodline thing was. So can they follow up with another really good story here? I rarely have confidence in them, but I kind of do right now because it's Roman and they've been so careful with presenting him.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, is this a good example of it's time to split these titles?
Yeah.
I was screaming for one world champion for the longest. Now I'm saying, is it time to split the titles? I don't know. You know, if you had split the titles and Roman has one, and somebody else has the other, it's a little bit easier to kind of move around. But do you want Cody to beat Roman? That's at the end of the day, that's the question here.
Yeah. Who do you make the guy beating Roman who's had the title for so long now? But if Cody doesn't beat him, then what does that mean as well? Like that, I think he's got to win unless they pivot to Sammy, and I don't know that they're going to pivot to Sammy based on what I saw tonight.
No, they can't. They can't. They're going to do some sort of weird screw finish where Sammy gets a beat down and Kevin Owens comes in, and now you set up the tag match and they win the tag titles, and that's the big story for them. You know, they won the tag titles together.
Where does Jay fit in, though?
Maybe that's the swerve. Maybe Jay is the swerve. Maybe Jay turns on Sammy.
Interesting. Jay could be with Sammy, and maybe that's the match at Elimination Chamber. It's Jay and Sammy and Roman and Jimmy. Though I feel like you'd need a little bit longer of a time frame to tell that story. I feel like there's going to be lots of weeks where Jay is kind of like in between. I'm interested. I will be watching SmackDown to see the story progress. I will be checking in on Raw and you and I, you know.
You know what I don't want on Raw? I don't want Cody to come out there and start crying again.
Yeah, I don't
because I know that's going to be the promo. That's going to be the promo. He's going to come out. He's going to talk about, you know, how nobody in his family, his father never achieved this, his brother never achieved this, and he's going to do the one thing that neither one of them could, and you know, which is great. But how many times can you do that?
They got to be careful with Cody.
Yeah, they got to be very careful. I want him to work.
Yeah, me too. Love Cody.
You know, he has that look that they need, especially in a baby face, you know?
This is going to be a great test for Triple H, too, because he himself, when he was at his best, he was a heel champion. Roman has been a heel champion, and they haven't had a baby face champion in a while. They haven't had a baby face as, like, the guy. Yeah. I don't know if Cody will be the guy. It'll probably still be Roman, but I think it's an opportunity to make the guy, and this is going to be Triple H having his ear to the street to know what people want. And you know, if you're going to do it, you got to go 100%. I don't think you can go halfway here with Cody, because I don't think fans will accept a halfway Cody. So that's going to be so interesting. That's going to be another part of this thing that, as we talk about, it's going to be fascinating.
But, you know, one thing that they do get for this show?
Yeah.
Corporate synergy, 10 out of 10.
That's part of the game.
Right? That Logan Paul spot was not for you and me and anybody in the audience. You know who it was for? SportsCenter and the New York Post and CNN Sports or whatever website. Right now, front page of the New York Post is Logan Paul and Ricochet.
Really?
Yep. On the front page of the New York Post.
You said CNN Sports. Does CNN have sports?
I don't know. I was just throwing, you know. I was just
thought you were
something.
Like throwing it back to Fred Hickman, RIP, who recently
they do. They do have
away.
A sports. Yeah, they have a sports section. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So if I can make one little shout out is on my YouTube channel now, F4W's YouTube channel, you're going to hear Brian and Vinny in the members section. You're going to hear Dave and Brian tonight in the member section this channel for Wrestling Observer Radio. But if you want to see a little bit more, like a little bit more magnifying glass for WrestleMania and the road to WrestleMania on Fight Game Media, if you search in YouTube for Fight Game Media, I'm going to do a show with a lot of the folks from who do podcasts for Fight Game Media. And we're doing our own special road to WrestleMania. We're doing live streams and then we're putting the audio on the Patreon. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check it out. First show goes live tomorrow. We're going a little late. It wouldn't be good for Andrew. It's midnight Andrew's time. Hopefully Andrew will be fast asleep, like already in REM sleep by then. It's either going to be Saturday, Sunday, depending on football. And then, you know, we're going to go all the way through to WrestleMania. So it's called The Road. That's the name of the show, The Road to WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. So just wanted to put that out there in case anybody is interested in seeing us cover this like that closely. But you and I, we're going to be doing this as well every Tuesday on this channel, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Andrew and I, we're live, pal. We have said that once a month we're going to try to get a guest. I have one other guest lined up for February who we'll announce pretty soon. But, man, thanks for staying up, man. I know this was rough.
125 here on the East Coast. I'm good.
I really appreciate you hanging out. We thought it was going to be a lot sooner than this. But so give Andrew his propers.
Thank you. I'm going to go hang.
You more than Gunther tonight. The true Iron Man.
You know, I'm going to go sleep perfect. You know how I sleep? I hang upside down like a vampire, like a bat. Oh, so I have, you know, I got my feet in this thing and I just hang upside down. So I'm going into my coffin now. So I'll be good.
All right. So thanks to everyone for hanging out. We had around 475, 500 people.
Over 500.
For the stream. So that was great. For those who are listening on audio, really appreciate you because I know there's a lot of stuff on this website specifically about Royal Rumble. So those who checked it out for us, thank you as well. So for Andrew, I am Double G. We will see you on Tuesday on We're Live, pal. Peace out.